Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
And the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. And we welcome you to our show today. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Michael, hi.
How are you this morning, this afternoon?
Doing well. We have David and Tim on with us.
Welcome, David. Is Dr. Tim with us this morning or this afternoon?
They're both on.
Awesome.
They are both on.
Welcome, gentlemen. How do you be today?
Doing beautifully. Is David there?
David is here in Theodosia, Missouri, and Heartland. Beautiful day here, warming up nicely, and it's getting to be fall around here a little bit. Nice to have it cool down a little.
Interesting time for fall to strike, isn't it, in the end of August?
Say that again?
Especially, I say it's an interesting time for fall to strike at the end of August, especially with how crazy hot it was earlier this summer. It's just ridiculous.
Yep. So how are the workshops going?
Say again, David.
How are the workshops going?
Awesome, awesome. We had a fabulous group last night. We did codependence to interdependence, and of course, I may be prejudiced, seeing as how I did it, so I'll invite Dr. Tim to just share about what happened last night.
Well, it was a distinctly different presentation than is on either of the two DVDs I have of that workshop. And I was riveted. I was sitting in the back of the room, and I didn't see anybody fidgeting or getting up to move, even though Michael went straight through for 3.5 hours.
No intermission?
Well, he did have us stand up and rub each other's shoulders at one point. I guess it was a solid 3 hours and 15 minutes, something like that.
I don't think it was quite that. We finished about 20:10, and we started at 7, so a little better than 2.5 hours straight through.
Oh, well, you think you stopped at 20 to 10. Okay.
Different reality.
Yeah,
Did you think we stopped at 10:30?
No, I was overstating it at 3.5 hours, but
okay.
It clearly ran past the 2.5 hours without a break, so there wasn't any 10 or 15 minutes or 20 minutes of people getting drinks and talking as there have been in the past seminars this week. He went straight through, and we had maybe a 3 to 5 minute break where people rubbed shoulders and then sat down. It was very powerful, and some beautiful stories and quotes that bring in the need for us to continue to celebrate Memorial Day and remove all of those realities in our brain that generate hostility and fear, and take back our own ability to choose and create our own human life. It was very powerful.
It was a pretty intense time, and I guess one of the signals that it was on track with folks, as Tim said, nobody fidgeted, nobody got up. No, I think it was one person that took a quick restroom break, and interestingly enough, the workshops are free, and at the end we invite people to donate, and last night the donations were up over 200% from what they normally are. So it was a fun time, I think, for everybody, including myself. I definitely got a lot out of it. And it was a good workshop. And anybody that's in the Chicago area, you would certainly be most welcome to come and join us tonight. Tonight we're going to do the workshop Naturopathic Keys to Health. So 7 o'clock in Cary, Illinois, up on the north side of Chicago, is where we'll be doing that workshop. And we'd be delighted to have you come and join us. And as Tim said, we're celebrating Memorial Day once again. I think we're probably about day 90.
I am on someone else's computer, and it's really, really slow, but I think it's day 85. Once it comes up, I'll tell you.
Okay. Well, in any event, we are celebrating Memorial Day once again. And for anybody who's new to the show, what does that celebration of Memorial Day mean? Why are we doing that when Memorial Day was almost 3 months ago? Well, we have an invitation for you. One of our plans in doing this work is to remove war from planet Earth. How are we going to do that? Well, we're going to invite you to participate. And what we're going to invite you to do is we're going to invite you to forgive, that is, reach inside yourself, and today choose to remove some form of hostility or fear that has been plaguing your life. Perhaps you've been blaming somebody else for it. And we know that hostility and fear is the cause of war. Of course, many people say, well, no, greed is. Actually, greed is just a reflection of fear. And it's time for us to shift and change that dynamic on planet Earth. So we invite you to be part of changing that dynamic and healing more on planet Earth by healing yourself, by looking at forgiveness. And the forgiveness process we're talking about has nothing to do with the Greek idea that we've been taught, that I have something painful happening inside of me and it's all your fault, but it's okay, I'll forgive you. Nothing whatsoever to do with forgiveness. Forgiveness in Aramaic is the tool with which you go inside yourself and remove what never belonged in a human life. What never belonged in a human life, any form of hostility or fear. If you're not familiar with that conversation or with that tool, we invite you to go to our website, www.whyagain.com. And on the right-hand side, you'll see a link that says Download Worksheets. There are four links, or there are actually a couple of dozen links under that particular link. But the first four will give you a written explanation of forgiveness. The actual worksheet is the second link. Third and fourth links are two radio shows of people who were courageous enough to walk through the forgiveness process and to do it on the air. And the first link is awesome. A young lady with a lot of courage who came on the show and owned a problem with alcohol and hostility and worked through it. Just one of the most powerful worksheets I've seen done in 25 years of doing this work. So we invite you to pick up those links. Check it out. You can download my book free, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And read about the forgiveness process as it applies in real life. So we appreciate the fact that you're with us today. Jeannie, are there any callers or anything in the chat room that we need to be aware of?
There is no one on the switchboard. And hold on. This computer is so slow. It's ancient. And trying to flip from the chat room to the switchboard is a challenge here. I checked just a second ago and there was nobody, but I did flip over and look, and you were closer than I was. It is day 89. Yeah.
It's almost 3 months out from this celebration.
Yeah.
Memorial Day.
Was. So,
well,
I apologize.
David got to listen. Oh, no problem. That's just it. That's okay. That's the technology age, and anybody who has some form of frustration or upset about it can just do some forgiveness work around it. So that will be an opportunity. Life is, of course, fraught with opportunities, not always delighted at those opportunities, but always the chance to say, my mind's outputting some form of hostility or fear. I think I'll own it. I think I'll change it instead of just live out of those patterns. So awesome chances. So David was able to listen to most of the workshop last night streaming, and David or Tim or maybe Miss Lady Jane is on too. She was able to listen to it. We streamed it last night, and Anything in particular that struck you, David, or Tim, or if Lady Jane is with us?
I don't know if there's if it's coming across for other people. The connection is a little broken up, Michael. It could be my phone and company location as well.
Well, let's ask Tim, Jeannie, how's it coming across?
Well, I can hear you, Michael, but there is a little bit of static, but it's not enough to disrupt the flow of hearing you.
Oh, okay, good. Good, all right. Well, we don't have the best signal here, so we'll do our best to keep it as clear as possible.
So, David, what did you think about the presentation?
Well, as I told Michael last night afterwards, that I was surprised a little bit and curious as how the crowd was responding to going for such a length without having an intermission with it. And I actually was on for just about 2 hours when I lost the connection. And now to hear how long that you did go, and Michael had told me last night you did the stretch, I was telling him that I thought that the information that was presented in his presentation was so very powerful, and giving the information about coming from, driven mind or controlled or an inspired mind, and using the statistics around war and how we are driven and how we are controlled in lots of ways unless we actually make the choice with it. I thought for the time, there was a tremendous amount of information, and it, to me, is a reflection of where people are at this particular time and age with the understanding of it and the willingness, you know, to have a group sit there for that long and willingly within there must have been some things that they were connecting with in order to receive it and to to carry it on to the next person. So I thought it was very, very nice. Love to have been there.
Michael was a bit concerned about some of the quotes he read about war, maybe hitting people too strongly or being heavy-handed, but I thought it went beautifully. I think people are, as David is saying, growing in the awareness that since the world is so crazy and conflict-riddled, we must be doing something wrong, and there must be a better way to go about this. So I think there's a space opening for people more and more to be able to let it in that the way we've been brainwashed to just go along with the government and the military and big business isn't paying off, and we have to start questioning that. So I thought it went very, very well, and I thought it was well received by the crowd.
It sounds like it, and one of the things that I liked about it, Tim, was the fact that that he tied it in with the personal responsibility. And I think that a lot of people have some of that information and they've questioned it. And to open it up with the codependence to interdependence and open up that space in the mind to be able to let go of the prejudice and the judgments and criticism that they may have, that they may hold, opened up the space for them to hear that. To me, that's always what's so wonderful about Michael's work. So, great. Glad you guys had a fabulous time. And you guys are doing a workshop tonight, as I understand.
Yeah, we are. I'm still sorting through the emails thanking me for introducing people to Dr. Rice and the tools, and I even got a phone call today with somebody who's trying to get him hooked up with a church in Evanston. So it's been a very, very productive trip, and lots of people are getting energy moving, and lots of people are feeling the ups and downs of that roller coaster. But as far as I can tell, most of them are seeing the benefits as well.
We have. And you can have him for about 2 more weeks, and then you can bring everyone here to Heartland and do the intuitive development, which is really fabulous to tie into that. Jenny, you got someone on there?
We have two people on the switchboard.
Okay.
Awesome.
Cool.
Well,
ready?
One of my thoughts, Tim, before we actually take the switchboard, one of my thoughts, Tim, is that there are one or two emails in particular after we finish with the switchboard callers that might be appropriate to share with the audience so they get a sense of what's happening here. That would be cool. But otherwise, Jenny, let's go ahead and switchboard.
Okay. Area code 607, you're on the air. Who do we have and where are you calling from?
It's Richard in Ithaca. How is everybody?
Hey, Richard.
We're
good.
Blessed. Richard, good to hear from you. Welcome.
So, I just wanted to comment on the forgiveness and worksheet. The idea of Memorial Day and giving up something in our lives that we realize we have hostility and fear. And certainly, working with you, Michael, has allowed me to see how much I have used fear in the past to either get my way or want to just how much I utilize it in my life rather than being at peace or whatever. And certainly, in order for the world to be at peace, we have to, each one of us has to be at peace first. You know, it starts with each one of us. And certainly your tool is a way to get there. And I thank you very much for the tools and the wisdom. And I had a situation yesterday. I think I mentioned to you before I left Heartland that I was picking up a cat from my niece to bring it home and introduce it to my house, where I already had two cats, and turns out this cat has a little bit of a problem where he marks his territory by urinating on the floor or whatever, and it's happened about three times now, and I'm sure a lot of it is the stress of coming into another house with other cats, and the one cat isn't accepting him very well. Obviously, there's this fear and hostility between the two because cat taking over his position as, being the favorite cat, so to speak, and he's not very happy about it. And so, this cat at night then has his spot, and I'm sure part of the issue is he's marking his territory, say, hey, you stay away from me, this is where I'm at, and you're not allowed to be here. So it happened three times, and yesterday morning I got up and realized, he'd done it again and again. I could feel the anger building in me, okay, cat, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? And wanting to, train him and teach him that this isn't acceptable. And I obviously have worked with cats before. So, at this point I decided, I realized that, there was anger coming up for me. And I actually had to sit down and do a worksheet, go through the, dealing with, what's going on here, why am I angry? I'm angry because this cat's not coming in and all that and sitting in, and what am I going to do about it, or am I going to accept, what can I do? Well, eventually.
So that's awesome. The cat's giving you an opportunity to learn forgiveness. Isn't it amazing how life just delivers to us whatever we need? It's pretty cool.
Exactly.
Congratulations.
And anyway, in the end result was I basically got myself a squirt bottle to give him a squirt so I could say no when he does things that I don't want him to do, and actually ended up putting a little separate cat litter there for him so that he can be where his spot is, and if he has to go, do it, hopefully he'll...
Richard, what did you find at the root of the anger you were experiencing? What was the upshot of the worksheet that you did on your anger?
Well, it's frustration and fear that this is a nice cat. I like the cat. And I renamed it to be called JB Loves because he's such a lovable cat. But it's like, okay, am I going to... have to put up with this. The fear is having to deal with this indefinitely, without resolving the problem. So
So have you done any worksheets around, you did some worksheets around your anger. Have you done any worksheets around your fear there?
No, not really, because I...
Okay, well, that might be a good one for you to do. I remember 7 years ago, we had a gentleman who came to an intensive, and this young man was he was in the second family. He was an accident with his parents. His sisters were 8 and 10 years older than he was. And he came to an intensive in a center before we got our property. We were up in Michigan, and there's a center up there I used to use all the time. And he was put in a room where there wasn't a screen on the window, and he had the window open, and a mosquito got in. And he was just enraged in the middle of the night trying to kill this mosquito. And finally, he decided to stop and do a worksheet on his rage toward this mosquito. And what he came up with was his underlying belief that he had always been a bug to his parents because he was an accident. He was a second family. They were older and really didn't want another child. So it was interesting. The worksheet on the mosquito led to him touching into how all his life he felt like he was a bug. He was an interruption to their lives. So you might be interesting. You might find it interesting to see what underlies that fear, and that might just be another piece of your puzzle that will help to clean out any situation, and this would be the invitation to everyone that brings up any form of hostility or fear. Hostility or fear in our minds is a disintegrative energy. It's something that doesn't belong in human physiology, and so it becomes the opportunity to forgive, to remove that. So that's cool, Richard. We're delighted that you're on the path and doing your work, and we certainly support you in doing that.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know, again, if I, earlier in the week, actually it was Monday when I called in, I had been mowing the lawn and had ran across a yellow jacket's nest and had got stung 7 times, so I was like, oh, you know, my body had
another
been
opportunity.
In, yeah, my body had been in the fight-flee reflex for at least 3 days, I'm sure. But I saw somebody on Wednesday, and they could feel the heat coming off my body. I mean, again, they talked about how bees relate to anger and all that stuff. So obviously there's my body's, again, you might call this a healing crisis in the sense that I'm giving up anger. I'm letting go of anger, and I realize that's been another major issue for me. You know, certainly dealing with my anger and being at peace. And I actually have been doing a number of worksheets, and one of my issues has been my relationship, my supervisor at work, and
more opportunities.
More opportunities, and realizing that it's been something that's been coming up on a regular basis, and something I really need to address and deal with. Right. And
Well, we certainly support you in healing that, Richard, and Jeannie has got another caller waiting in line, so we're going to jump on that call, and we hold the space. And again, if any questions specifically come up on the worksheet, we'd love to hear them.
I'll just leave saying, just reminding everybody that peace starts in the world with peace within ourselves.
Absolutely. Thank you, Richard. We appreciate that reminder.
Bless All right, you. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Okay.
All right, the next caller is area code 773. You're on the air. Who do we have, and where are you calling from?
Chicago. Hey, Michael, this is Atleen. Hello?
Well, hey there, young lady. Delighted you're on the show. Welcome. Atleen's been
Thank
coming
you.
All the way from way down in Chicago, all the way up to Cary.
Yeah.
On the train every night. Enjoy it. Fabulous.
Hey, Jeannie, how you doing? If she can hear me. I don't even know if she can hear me or not. But I just wanted to say I enjoyed myself last night, and you outdid yourself last night.
Cool. Thank you. Glad to be
yes.
on the team and supporting you.
Yes,
and
you have
your. It was fun to have your aunt there last night and watch the impact on her of the insights that she got. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was. It was. We just keep talking about it every day. We really have been enjoying ourselves all week, all week. I do have a question I want to ask you, though.
Yes.
Hello. Okay. I think we're, like, breaking in and out, so I hope you can hear what I'm saying.
You're live and clear.
Oh, okay. When we were talking about the power person yesterday, and you know,
right.
you always draw that circle. That person in our that's up in our brain cell. I mean, that's up in our mind who's resonating that anger. Is that the power person?
No. The power person would be the one who, you know, our definition of a power person is someone who had more power, control over your life than you did, and was not functioning out of love, out of a human life, out of being. And so that would be the power person. And usually
okay.
It's a caretaker, usually a parent, though not always. One of the games, for instance, of every cult is to attempt to take over and get a person to change power persons to them. You know, we talked a little bit earlier in the show about the military. And, you know, every group of people or every authority that would try to get somebody to shift to them as the power person is a cult. And military, of course, if you look at military training, if you want to see exactly how a cult works, you want to see exactly how a brainwash works, in this particular case, it backfired, which is a powerful film out there called Straight Metal Jacket. And it just shows
mm-hmm.
how the whole attempt is to intimidate someone into switching power persons, which means we'll do the behavior and follow the command of the power person. And so
mm-hmm.
military training has that purpose. There are religions that do that have that purpose. And what we're looking to do is to show people how to remove that part from their minds that drives them according to those power person dynamics.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I do understand that.
You got really quiet there. What's happening?
Well, I was just taking in what you were saying, you know,
yep.
about, you know, hello?
Go ahead. I've got you.
Okay. I was just taking in what you're saying, you know, how, like you said, somebody that's the person that we have been brought up with, that one person that I've been brought up with in my life that has that much control over me. And that person, I can see clearly how that person was disconnected now that I see, and that's who I was brought up with.
And therefore, isn't it interesting that that's what we emulate when the stress is up and the chips are down?
And that's exactly who I emulate when the stress is up and the chips are down. I tend to go into anger or fear, and I just model, you know, that person's behavior.
Yep.
Yeah.
Or at least you used to, right?
Thank you. Yes,
you
definitely.
Go.
At least I used to. That is at least I used to. Yeah. But
moving
you made it so.
Place.
Yeah. Yeah. And you made that so. You made that all so clear last night, and you make it clear now. I mean, my life was totally changed last night. You know. I mean, I just can't keep, I had to come back home and just watch the CD, the DVD again, just to hear what you were, just reiterating what you're saying. So.
Yeah, it is a whole new way of looking at the way our lives are run from that dissociated level, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. Well, we'll look forward to sharing the Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing workshop with you tomorrow and with your aunt. It'll be awesome to have you there. And are you guys thinking about coming to Heartland for the Intuitive Development Intensive?
Probably not.
Is that a possibility there?
Probably. I could be a possibility. I could open up and see. But definitely, I will be coming back to Heartland. I definitely
cool.
will be coming back. Yeah.
All right.
So
I will. Thank you for the call.
Right. And I'll see you guys tomorrow.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Okay. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye. Big commitment on Lane's part. I don't know. I guess the train ride out from downtown Chicago is an hour, and so an hour there and an hour back. they've been doing that just about every night, so it's been pretty cool. Any other comments in the chat room, Janie, or anybody else on the phone? Hello, Janie. How are you? Hello.
I keep forgetting to unmute myself, and I'm just sitting here talking away.
Okay.
There's nobody else on the phone, but Nene has written in the chat room that in Orlando next Wednesday, August 31st at 7 p.m., and Porque, I can't read Spanish, so anyway, she's got something there, a question in Spanish, which means Why Again Workshop, I guess, and then the address, which is 7433 Regina Way, Orlando, Florida. She's going to be doing a Spanish Why Is This Happening to Me Again. That's awesome.
Awesome. Congratulations, Nene. We're so excited. Have you set up to be able to record it, I hope?
Yeah. I don't know if you heard that, Nene. Are you set up to record it so that we can – we'll put that out on the website as well. She hasn't responded yet. She's still out there. But.
Very cool. All right. So, Dr. Tim. Does it seem appropriate to share any of the emails you've been getting from the workshops and give folks on the show a kind of a chance to tap into what's happening here in the big city of Cary, Illinois?
Well, there are some issues with confidentiality, but one email was very excited about the workshop and all of the things in me that were shaking loose. I'm feeling a bit overwhelmed. And talking about an intense dream that she wants to work through. Another person said, I am just feeling tragic sadness that I couldn't be there for every night this week, but I've made a commitment to listen to the web show from August 2nd and watch the DVDs again while doing worksheets. Another person said, here's a link to a song that might make a good theme song for the Mind Shifters, and thanks for the opportunities you and Michael have made available this week. I'm beginning to feel the shift. There was another person, the email I don't have with me right now, but the comment was, related to how many other workshops and trainings this person had been to who hadn't gotten anywhere near the benefit that they did from the one session on Sunday. And then another testimonial, which is not written in an email, but speaks more loudly than all of those combined, is someone who came to the first workshop on Sunday and then brought two people with him on Monday, and two or three on Tuesday. And then on Wednesday had six people with him. So he's like a human recruiting machine to try and... Apparently he can't tell enough people how wonderful it's been for him to be at the workshop. So that's what I would say, is that if you have any excuses, do your best to get rid of them and come tonight and learn more about how to take charge of your health and join us and strongly consider coming tomorrow for an all-day Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing Intensive, which will help you move more energy in one day than most people, even when they're working on it, will move within a year.
I'll second that. That's how it works.
It isn't easy, but it is certainly worth it. Fabulous results.
Yes. Definitely.
I had another in-person comment from someone who showed up from Monday's workshop, who pulled me aside and wanted to talk about the fabulous results he got. He, in changing the relationship with his 20-year-old son, which had been very contentious and angry for a number of years, And he actually brought his son to one of the workshops, and he was just thrilled that his son would be willing to look at it and open up to the possibility that the conflicts between them had more to do with what was going on within the father individually than it did with a projection of negativity toward the son, and that if the father is going to claim his own work, that it opens the possibility for a much better, more loving communication between the two of them. And that father had tears in his eyes as he was reporting this to me, the tremendous changes he's seeing in his relationship with his son. So those kinds of testimonials are happening, and we invite anybody within earshot to join us.
Well, the other day we quoted Marcel Proust, who said, "The challenge of life consists not in exploring new landscapes, but in developing new eyes, and certainly as one begins to do their work, literally the whole reality structure in the mind and in the body, the physiology shifts, and at that point life is seen with new eyes. If one's willing to do one's work, if one's willing to stop the game of everything that's happening in my life inside of me that I'm going through the 87th different time, you know, with 42 different people, it's all somebody else's fault. When one lets go of that and starts to accept, oh, this is happening in my physiology. And once that happens, a whole new set of eyes opens. You can go back to Yeshua 2,000 years ago, who spoke of people who, having eyes, did not see, having ears, did not hear. And when the mind is in hostility and fear, it cannot hear truth. And so many people live in that hostility and fear-based reality structure program from day one, right, out of the womb. Out of hostility or fear, and they think they can accurately hear the teachings of the man named Yeshua, but as you said, having eyes do not see and having ears do not hear. There's another level that needs to be listened to in this awesome process of awakening. And when perception shifts, as one works with this material, the world shifts to new levels of application, new levels of meaning of everything unfold. And that's what this work is designed to do, to be a source of clarity and empowerment today, tomorrow, and for eternity. And so it takes one's willingness to step in and do the work. And as you use the tools, it's interesting that aspects of life that once seemed miserable actually become enjoyable. If you have a pattern where, for instance, it seems you have no choice in life, if you use the tools. Now, if you keep blaming somebody else because you live without the action of choice in you, then things don't shift. But once you use the tools, you transform those times into an empowering opportunity to learn choice. And from there, some people live in the space of rage, grief, fear that seems just totally uncontrollable. And with the tools, when that starts to surface, the uncontrollable becomes the opportunity to gain liberty, to develop joy, strength, aliveness, and a human life by healing those destructive energies. And that's what we're here to support folks in doing, is to do that. So you can go to our website, www.whyagain.com. You can download the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again, freely from the website. There are videos, there are audios, there's all kinds of material to support you in this process. And, of course, listening to those sample worksheet shows, there are two of them, under the link for download worksheets is a life changer. So know that whatever you're going to face, whatever you encounter in yourself, whether it's just in your mind or in your own genetics, you survived it on the way in, you'll survive it on the way out. You were not designed to hold or experience any form of hostility or fear. That is not in the design of this human structure. It's something we created. It's something we made up. And they are corruptions of our natural state. Healing, forgiving, is the giving up of those things that are unlike one's natural state and returning to the awesome experience of a human life. And in order to know what the awesome experience of a human life is, just hold a newborn child. And know that that's what you are designed to live out of 24/7, 365. And know that that's what we're here to support you in. And if you have any questions or thought about that, our phone number is 646-200-4169. We'd love to hear from you. 646-200-4169. Call us with a question. Share your experience of using the tools. Or allow us the space to assist you in refining your understanding of the tools that we're speaking of.
So, Michael?
Yes, sir.
I would offer that one of the benefits of the tools is while if we're successful in helping reach critical mass, it may transform the entire world. But in the meantime, people who take your tools and apply them can find peace within themselves, even if the people around them aren't going to necessarily buy into the program. And there's a story about a king who once offered a prize for the artist who could paint the best picture of peace. And there were a lot of submissions, but there were two pictures that were in the final running. One was a beautiful picture of a calm lake that reflected mountains in the distance, and it was just glass calm. And the other was a picture that had some mountains in it too, but they were jagged and there was storm above them and there was a waterfall and the water was crashing down the side of the mountain, and you couldn't really imagine a more turbulent, disturbing kind of picture. The king chose the second picture because he reported, when you look closely, there, beside the waterfall, was a tiny bush growing from a crack in the rock, and a mother bird had built her nest in that tree, and there she was amidst all the angry water and the mist and the wind. She just sat there peacefully on her nest with her baby birds underneath her, and the king announced, "The reason I chose this picture is because peace does not mean to be in a place where there is no noise, no trouble, or no hard work. Peace means to be able to be in the midst of all these things and still be calm in your heart. This is the true meaning of peace."
Oh, that's nice.
Powerful. Now, let me take a guess. Is that from Anthony DeMello's work?
That is from a posting by Pamela Gregory. I don't know who the author was, but Pamela Gregory from the Forgiveness on Facebook. I forget the name of the page, but it's Forgiveness Healing for Humanity Incorporated on Facebook. That's her post today. Beautiful story. And
well,
I thought it fit really
very
well with
powerful.
Those who can actually apply your tools, and people are coming to our seminars all week, are reporting, yeah, the whole situation in my life hasn't changed very much, but I just feel a lot better about it. And that's the value of this work.
Yeah. And Jeannie, maybe, or Tim, maybe you could put a link on the on the chat room so that anybody who might want to get that story directly could get it and tap into Pamela's work. She has a Facebook forgiveness project that she does and has worked with us and using the tools and passing them along. So that would be awesome.
All right, I'll work on putting that up there, and then I'm going to say goodbye. I have to get ready for a few patients in a row here coming up, starting at 2. So I look forward to seeing you later this evening, and thanks to everybody for tuning in, coming to the workshops, and using the tools.
All right, and thank you, Tim, for hosting me and creating this space for me, you and Christy, and for all your support. It's just awesome to be here and sharing these tools with people.
You're welcome.
All right, questions.
Awesome. First, Nene said that she had invited someone to come and do the videotaping for the Spanish workshop, so she just holds that they will show up. And I did, and I think Lynn is in the room now, but I did get an email from her. With everything else going on yesterday here in Tennessee, it just totally slipped by me that I had a meeting with Lynn. And so I had written her this morning apologizing for that. And she said, well, in the meantime, in there, the time frame she had set aside to work with me, that she actually got a in contact with her daughter, who is abroad, and she introduced her daughter to the work, and her daughter just took off with it, and that was awesome.
Ah, very cool, Lynn. That's fabulous. Divine appointment, eh? That's very cool. So, just to talk a little more, and if you'd like to tap into more of the information on the codependence work that we do, there was about, oh, probably, I don't know, 8 or 10 days of shows back a couple of months ago. They'll be clearly marked in the archives that you can go back and listen to on the idea of codependence. And, of course, earlier in the show we were talking about war, which is the ultimate expression of codependence, and whether that war is internal, whether that war is within a family system, whether that war is within a community or, you know, the global community, the game is the same. When one does not wish to be responsible for what's going on within themselves, they deny, they dissociate from the source of their pain, and then they project that pain. And, of course, all they have to do is get rid of that somebody else, and they think they'll be free of their pain. But when you let go of the, or you get rid of the stimulus for pain, you haven't dealt with the pain in any way, shape, or form. And if you haven't noticed, it's guaranteed to come back and bite you once again. To have the courage to actually look in the midst of your pain at your responsibility instead of lashing out at another. The ultimate in codependent relationship, of course, is when people choose to kill each other, as in war. And Mark Twain, who's quite an interesting character, had a powerful statement about that. And what he says is, and of course, whether it's the macrocosm of actual war or whether it's the interpersonal war that people go into, the destructive energy that one puts into oneself or points at another becomes self-destructive in the end. But what Mark Twain says is, in all ages, the savages of all lands have made the slaughtering of their neighboring brothers the common business of their lives. And when you look at it from that perspective, it is the ultimate codependent relationship. And we look at how we fund, you know, if you don't know it, 60% of your tax dollars go to funding war in the world. And funding those, supporting those, is, as Mark Twain says it, have made the slaughtering of their neighboring brothers the common business of their lives. And for some people it is nothing but a business and about making money. And it's time for us to start to heal this dynamic on the planet. And, of course, the place we heal it is within ourselves. The place we heal it is within our relationships. The place we heal it is when we stop battering and beating and talking about another when we're in pain, but come back to interdependence. And if we're in pain, start to speak of ourselves and what's going on inside of us rather than how somebody else did it to us and how we have to find a way to punish them for what's going on in us. And that's the whole essence of the work of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? Again, we'd love to hear from you. Our call-in number, 646-200-4169. You can go ahead and download the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For you can also order it from our website. It would be awesome if you wanted to actually buy it. That's one of the ways we support our work is with our product sales. And if you're finding this work online to be of benefit, you could also jump on our website. There's a donate button there. You could support us in keeping this carrying on and moving forward. But the book, if you choose to download it, it's a dialogue between this troubled character named Richard and myself. It's kind of a fast-paced dialogue where we move through this character who doesn't want to know that he has anything to do with his life. He's on his third divorce, you know, and all he knows is, all I have to do is get out of Dodge and, you know, these women who are the problem in my life, they'll be gone. And this leaving issue becomes one of the core issues on the planet. And people who keep leaving, of course, they don't recognize that what they're doing is battering on the people around them with this threat of leaving. And they refuse to give it up as though someone else could cause, you know, someone who's been through a painful quality relationship, you know, once, twice, three, four, five times, and then comes forward into a space of safety and support, all of a sudden those things start to come up. And if one lays in this bed of victimhood and the belief that what's going on inside of them, what they're feeling, must be caused by the person they're standing in front of course, the old get out the battering ram and separate and give up your human life and leave becomes the game. And so this is what Richard's caught in. And read the book, and you'll be kind of gripped by the way he unravels the blocks that keep him from experiencing the love for which he really yearns, and seeing how he gives that love up for the smallest of excuses. And when we're ready to change that dynamic, then we get to change it. Because it is we who have to give up that love. Nobody else can take it from us. Any callers, Jeannie? Anything in the chat room? The phone's off. Hello, hello. Okay. Well, I guess we've got technical difficulties for Jeannie, or maybe for me. I don't know. But let's just check and see. Yeah, it looks like we're still online and operating here. So
I'm hearing you, Michael. Can you hear me?
Okay. I got you, David. Yeah, you're live and clear.
Might be on Jeannie's end.
Say again?
So it must be on Jeannie's end, then. Sounds like it.
Yeah.
So do you want to take a few minutes, Michael, and maybe talk about one of the things that you talk about the driven, the controlled, or the inspired mind? Time for that?
Well, we could take a look at that. And the idea of that one is to see that there are three places from which life can come. That every life is either driven, is controlled, or it is inspired. And only one of those styles of life comes from being, comes from their human life, and only one of them includes an actual person that's alive. And so two of those styles of living come from non-being. It's actually death. It looks like a walking, talking human there, but there's no human life in that one who lives the driven life. And the driven life is one where the internal dynamics of hostility or fear cause one to be energetically devoted to beliefs based in hostility and fear, lost in beliefs based in hostility or fear. And as one sees that energetic devotion that they have to their beliefs based in hostility or fear, and they can be, you know, relational beliefs, they can be religious beliefs, whatever it is, doesn't matter. And that drives them from within against their own will and choice. Even when they say, okay, I'm going to do something differently, that tends to take over. And there are internal dynamics that drive them into functioning out of that kind of a life. The kinds of things that tie in with this idea of a driven life, the things that create that are tradition, dogma, doctrine, hostility, fear. People say, I felt like it, and you know, as we pointed out last time in the workshop, mindless patriotism. There's an awesome quote from Albert Einstein, and if you're not familiar with Albert Einstein's life, he was brought up in Germany, and when World War II started, he, if I remember correctly, he disavowed his citizenship and left the country. But here's what Einstein says about that codependent game of war. He says, he who joyfully marches to the music, rank and file, has already earned my contempt. He has been given a large brain by mistake, since for him the spinal cord would surely suffice. This disgrace to civilization should be done away with at once. Heroism at command, how violently I hate all of this, how despicable and ignoble war is. I would rather be torn to shreds than be part of so base an action. It is my conviction that killing under the cloak of war is nothing but an act of murder. So there's what Albert had to say about war and the driven life, because it is that internally driven process that tends to lock people into that form of living. And then what has to happen for one to change that is they've got to overcome the overwhelming urge from the unconscious dynamics, the dissociated mind, and rid oneself of the addiction of being driven by those things, being driven to behaviors that they say, perhaps in their saner moments, I'd rather not do that, but then when the stress is up and the chips are down, those dynamics take over. And the second form of life, or non-life, as the case may be, is a life that's lived from the outside. It's a reproduction from the past, but it's controlled by others from the outside. And the tools for creating this include force, manipulation, pressure, threat, seduction, advertising, indoctrination. And sadly, this also covers most education. If you look at the root of the word education, it's educare. It means to draw out. It does not mean to put in. And most of our so-called education systems are simply filling children's minds with information. And that's not education. That's indoctrination. And in many cases, it's brainwashing. So education means there's a being. You know, hold that newborn child. What if from day one, when that awesome presence of love called a newborn came into a form that we call a human body, if everything that that child touched was dedicated to supporting that human life, that active presence of love being fully expressed, that would be education, to draw out that human life and to support it in its expression. And so that's the objective of this work, is to get to the point where we, with ourselves and everyone around us, actually support that expression of a true human life and move into the presence of active love rather than playing out of the game the behaviors of hostility and fear. The third style of living that's possible is the inspired life. This is someone who has an actual experience of the presence of love in them and has let go of succumbing to authority and those internally generated dynamics. And they live a life in of an original creation, not a reproduction of the past, but actually live in being and have the continuous cellular experience of love, aliveness, enthusiasm, delight, and even in the face of adversity, continue to receive input directly from the world, which is called intuition. Forgiveness when in fear or hostility. That's what we're here to live, an inspired life. That's what we're here to support you in and create the best year yet of your eternal life. We hold you in the blessing. Bring a stranger to the show tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.